Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. With me today is our leading lady, the amazing Deanna Potter with Potter Coaching and Consulting. Good morning, Deanna.
Good morning, Bethany. I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, we are pretty excited to, I'm so excited to have you here today. And we're going to be talking about Deanna's book, From Distress to Success, The Three Choices You Must Make to Be Victorious in Life and Business. This is an amazing book, I know, because I picked it up to read it, and I couldn't put it down until I was finished. Deanna, tell us a little bit about your book, so the author, so the listeners have an idea.
Yeah, so, my book was not something that I grew up saying, someday I'm going to write this great book about this topic. It is a situation that happened in my life. And as I was in the midst of this situation, I said, when I survive this and I get through this, I'm going to tell my story. And so it's a situation where I went in for a surgery. The surgery was supposed to be 2 days in the hospital, 3 weeks of recovery, and back to my PT little keen life. And unfortunately, I suffered massive complications. And I ended up via an ambulance back to the hospital the night I was released and I had gone home. When I got back to the emergency room, I had suffered a leak in my stomach. It caused a chronic abscess. I spent 6 months in the trauma unit immediately and then the next 44 months with them trying to determine if they could stop the leak, which was causing the abscess, and whether or not I would live. The good news is I live. Hi, I'm
Yay.
Here.
That is such good news.
That's the silver lining in every cloud. However, although the insurance company covered almost the $3 million of the claim, I lost a six-figure income. And aside from the stress that my husband and I faced just dealing with, you know, the medical issues and the fear of everything that we were going through, we had a financial collapse that really rocked our world. And, I determined that through all of this, I discovered three key choices that I believe are universal. They are universal to anyone facing a tragedy, an obstacle, a challenge in life. Mine happened to be medical. It happened to be financial. But whether that is a job loss, a death, a divorce, I believe you can take these three tools out of your toolbox. You can use these and that any of us can survive and go from a place of tragedy to triumph. And I thought, you know what? My tragedy is no worse than anyone else's. This isn't a competition, but I'm hoping that my story can help inspire and help others who might be dealing with that.
Well, that's beautiful. And, you know, I've had my own health challenges, and so I was riveted throughout the entire book and loved it. Thank you. Thank you for writing it. And I know
Thank you.
For all the listeners, you know, you're going to get a lot out of it. Go get this book. Read it. I promise it's great. So, now, you've made a tremendous turnaround, right? And your life is now amazing, and you're doing amazing things in your business. I'd love to find out from you, like, how you're using your book right now in your business. How has it benefited your business? You know, tell us a little bit about your business and how the book fits into it.
Well, you know what? I guess it has to start first with the fact that, like many people before I decided to go in for this procedure, I thought I was living the American dream. You know, I thought that I had, you know, this wonderful man in my life who stuck through so much with me. We were living in our dream home, this beautiful high-rise downtown San Diego. We're big baseball people. For those on the call, don't hate me, but my American League team is the Red Sox. If you're a Yankee person, please don't hang up on us. My National League team is the Padres because we're in San Diego. So there's some empathy. You should all feel sorry for us. So, you know, we were living over the ballpark downtown. You know, we were so happy. I have a wonderful family. And everything was good. But I had one image issue. I had spent my whole life suffering with my weight. And so I was going in for weight loss surgery. And it was a personal decision that I had made for a variety of reasons, which you can read about in the book. And needless to say, I dealt with some guilt issues after all of this because here, you know, we go through this loss and we lose a lot. And my husband was one of those where I love you in every size, shape, and color you are. And so when we lost everything, I went through a lot of emotional issues, a lot of guilt, a lot of other things. But when I decided to go through this, I came through it and I tease people and say, you know, I was on the rack. I was go, 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 get this done. I was very clear about what I do and how I do it, which is so much of who we are, I think, as Americans in society. You know, you meet somebody and you go, so what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? So now I tell people, you know, I'm very clear on why I am here, you know, and I do a lot of speaking. I do a lot of coaching. I do a lot of keynote presentations. And I tell people, you know, I have an advantage over you guys. I almost died. And so now I'm very clear about why I'm here. And so, you know, now we had lost everything. And I remember the day we were moving into our apartment. I still to this day have no idea how we qualified for the apartment because we had filed bankruptcy. We had a foreclosure. We had a short sale. We had lost it all. And I remember sitting on moving day on the couch and I said to my husband, as much as we've lost financially and everything else, the worst thing I lost was my identity. I had a massive identity crisis. And I've learned as I've, you know, traveled and I've presented and I have people come up to me afterwards on the side of the stage, they go, I suffered that. I suffered that after my divorce. I suffered that after the death of my loved one. I suffered that after my job loss and the recession. Our identity becomes so tied to so many things. And, you know, and I think that was the hardest thing. I couldn't remember what I was good at and who I was. And I didn't even feel like I could get a job at 7-Eleven. I really wasn't clear on who I was anymore. So my husband, being the very cool guy he was, turned to me and said, honey, for the first time in your life, go do what you are meant to do. Go do what your talents and skills say who you are, not what you have to do for the money. And that's because we didn't have the big bills. We didn't have all the, we were down to one car. You know, we were at rock bottom in a lot of ways, and yet we were so blessed in so many other ways because I was alive and I had made it. And so I started my business because I wanted to go do what I was best at. So when I started my business and I wrote the book and I wanted to go out and share my story amongst my talents in business, which is, I'm a business coach and I focus on helping others build their profits through lead generation and systems and a lot of other things, I knew that I was going to use the book as a tool. And the number one best thing that I did was I became very clear on what was the purpose of the book for me. And there's several ways you can use a book. And sometimes people write a book just because they want to tell a story and leave a legacy, and there's nothing wrong with that. Other people may use a book for many other reasons strategically. I knew that my book was going to be designed for me as a speaker, as a means for promotion, to be able to go out and speak. It's what they call back-of-room sales or promotional ways. The way some people use a business card, my book was going to perhaps give me an opportunity to go out there and share my story and share my services. So that was my purpose, and that's what I've been using it for.
Wonderful. And I love how you're so clear on that, because you have no idea how many authors I talk to who are just starting the process and they can't answer that question clearly. What is this book going to do for you in your life or business? And I always tell people, if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. And it's a really important distinction. So I love that you're so clear, that you're so clear on what your book does for you, and it is doing what you intended it to do, correct?
Yes, absolutely, 100%, 100%, yeah.
Now let me ask you a question, because, like, your book is really very, you're very honest, and you're very vulnerable, and I think that's what makes a story amazing, and that's what keeps people engaged and keeps people turning the pages. I mean, you're raw and honest and vulnerable. Now, talk to me as an author, like, how was the experience of going that deep and being that open? What was that like for you?
Oh, yes. And my poor husband, because, you know, opposites attract, and my husband's a very private person. So when I said to him, you know, my husband and my mom and dad, I was like, okay, I'm going to go for it. Are you guys okay with that? They're like, absolutely. And I thought, oh, gosh, I hope they understand what they've just given me permission to do. Because I don't hold much back at all. That's very true. You know, first off, I am a big believer, and I talk about in the book, I talk about some of the ways in which, you know, I suffered from depression. I had issues with the pain medications, and, you know, there were a lot of stuff that was going on. And, you know, what I did every day, and, you know, I'm waking up with drain bags and IVs, and, you know, we were dealing with finances, and there was so much going on. And what does your day consist of when it's not the day you were used to before, whatever this crisis was that hit? And so I talk about the power of meditation and journaling and pets in some sections of the book. Journaling has always been a big piece of my life, and I've been doing it now for 16 years. And I have journaled. I journaled throughout the entire nearly four-year period except for 6 months, and that was when I was in the trauma unit. And I consciously, part of the time I couldn't, there I consciously chose not to even when I could, and I regret it now. I didn't want to remember that period, and I really am frustrated with myself for not doing it. And I'm glad I did it the rest of the time, because I went back and I used those journals and I used those entries and I reread and I reflected, and it was a very enlightening process. It was a sad process. Mm-hmm. It was hard, but I went back to look at what had I been through. So that was part of it for me. I had that opportunity because I had those tools. It was interesting because I would sit on the couch and I would go, I would say to my husband, you know, honey, gee, listen to this. And I'd read an entry and he'd be like, mm-hmm. And then I'd go, oh my gosh, listen to this. And after a while he goes, you know what, honey, I'm glad that you're able to go back because I know it'll help you to really write a book that's real and it'll be that much better, but I don't want to hear it. He didn't want to go back. He didn't want to face it. For him, he just wanted, it was over. He didn't want to go back. And for me, it was very therapeutic. It was very therapeutic to go back, and it helped. And I think it helped in the honesty, as you mentioned, of the book itself. Now, I've never shared this, but I'm going to go there. So I was using the journal, and I actually signed up for the San Diego Writers Association, which every city has a local writers association of some sort. And it was like $35 for the year. It was very inexpensive. And the reason I signed up for it, and they do a lot of different things in the local writers associations, I signed up for it because they had a local, like, writing hub where you could go 2 or 3 days a week, and they had hours where it was open, and you could go, and it was quiet, and I could block time on my calendar, and I could leave my normal environment, and I could go sit in this very quiet room with other people who were writing. Some people were writing textbooks. Some people were writing novels. I don't know what these people were writing, but we were all writers, and we were all in this room, and we all had a purpose. And that's the only way you are going to get your book done is to look at it like a project, set up a project timeline, and figure that you're going to get a chapter a week done or so many pages. And you need to look at this and set a deadline, and you need to break it out. Because if you just say, I'm going to start writing and I'm just going to keep writing and keep writing and keep writing, you're not going to get it done. You need to break it out like a project timeline. So that was very helpful to me. And at one point, I had all my journals in the trunk of my car in a canvas bag. My car got broken into. And there was nothing in my car except for a $6 pair of sunglasses, the remote control to my garage, and this canvas bag in the trunk. And they broke in, they left my $6 pair of sunglasses, they took my remote control, and they went in the trunk, and the canvas bag was zipped up, and they felt it, and it was heavy, it had valuables, they grabbed it, and they left. And the next morning when I went down, my husband and I went down to our parking garage, and we kissed each other goodbye. When I got over to the car, I opened the trunk, and it wasn't there, and I broke down into tears. And he went, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Somebody broke into my car and they took all my personal journals." Now, who would want my journals? Nobody wants my journals, believe me. And we walked for miles around our complex. We dumpster dove. We checked the cameras in the building. They didn't record. They were live time. I mean, we tried everything, and I was crushed. I was crushed. Luckily, at that point, I had been through all of them. I had taken notes on certain quotes I wanted to put in the book. I had made a time, and I had been through them, but it broke my heart. It broke my heart. They were my memories. I felt so violated that my journals had been taken. And wow. I told my husband, I felt like the whole process had stopped. Like, how am I going to finish this book? And yet, again, and I think this is a small micro comparison or analogy to the book and to the message that I'm trying to share with people, Bethany. When you are faced with a crisis, one of the chapters, one of the key choices is about your attitude, the power of your attitude. You know, my husband said, and I talk about in the book, you can visit the pity party, you just can't live there. Your attitude is really critical on how you push through things. And believe me, the first that for days afterwards, I was a mess. I was breaking to tears. How could that have happened? I kept going, I feel like there's somebody in a crack house playing like PlayStation and reading through my journals. And Stephen's going, honey, I guarantee you that's not happening. No one's sitting around. Like, nobody's like, you know, some thief druggie did not take your journals and they're not reading through them. You know, and you know what happened? And I believe this, and I took this attitude. What's meant to be is meant to be. There's a reason that those journals are gone. It means I had gotten to a point in the writing process where I was relying on them too much. They needed to be gone. I had gotten everything out of them I needed. I had all my notes. I had pulled all the quotes. I was done. I needed to go forth with my own voice now. I was done. And so it was what was meant to be. It was time. And at that point the magic started, because through a friend and a connection, I picked up a book coach. And she is what really made the book become what it was. And is what made it what it is. I mean, it's the best thing that happened.
That's wonderful. And I want to talk about that in a little bit more in a minute, the support that you got through the process. But just in case our listeners may want to reach you after the show, how would you like our listeners to contact you, and where can they buy this book?
Oh, I would love to chat with people. So they can reach me through my website. It's deannapotter.com, and that's DEANNA. Potter, like Harry Potter, no relation, but I'll do magic with your business. So that's deannapotter.com. And they can buy the book on Amazon. And it's From Distress to Success. Don't forget the from, because otherwise you'll get some other bozo's book and you don't want their book, you want my book. From Distress to Success. And it's available on Kindle and paperback. If you would like an autographed copy, please feel free to go through my website, and I will send you a beautiful autographed copy. So I've got all my bases covered.
Fabulous. That's awesome. Well, so tell me – oh, there's so many questions I want to ask you. We have so little time. So tell me a little bit about about the types of support you got. You mentioned the book coach. What else can you tell us about the times that you felt you really did need some support and you really benefited from some outside support?
Okay, so outside support. First of all, I believe, start talking to other people you know who are authors. Others have walked before you, so that is so important to remember. One of my very best friends had just published her first book, and about 6 months before me, that was absolutely a wonderful piece for me. So I asked her, okay, what were the easy parts? What were the hard parts? There are so many moving parts to this. It's like an engine in a car, okay? It can be overwhelming. So talk to others who have done it before. Find out from them what comes first, what comes next. Talk to them about costs. Talk to them. Let me tell you right now, the world of self-publishing and professional publishing are like night and day. So you need to understand the difference, and that's very important. Personally believe that more and more people are going to self-publishing. Unless you're J.K. Rowling and you want to wait for years and years and years, you're never. I just believe it's very. I mean, I'm not going to be a defeatist. It's very challenging to get a publishing deal nowadays. So we'll just leave it at that. I believe book coaches are absolutely worth it. If you are not a professional writer and you are not an author, if you do anything else by trade, then you need someone to help you write a very well-written book, okay? I had a story, and don't tell me, but I majored in English. Well, good for you. So you read a lot of 18th century novels. That's fabulous. You can put a wonderful sentence together. I'm sure you write very well. That doesn't mean you know how to write a book. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that right now. Okay, I can tell you that I write memos great. I can put it together a fabulous email. I do content marketing writing for my business clients. Doesn't mean you know how to write a book. Writing an intro, knowing what order chapters should go in, how to write a table of contents, what spacing should be inside the book. These are all literary standards that unless you've been in that world, you don't know how to do it, you need a coach. Call Bethany. It's what she does. She's fabulous. Okay?
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Well, I agree with you. I agree with you that there's a lot of details, and then that's just on the writing side. When you actually get to the publishing side and you have
editing
to worry about the cover and the interior design, oh, my God, there's so many moving parts and pieces.
And here's what I will tell you. I thought to myself, what am I going to pay a coach for? I've still got to pay a publishing company and an editor, and I don't have the money for a coach. Here's where I made the mistake, and I'm so glad I smartened up. Hiring the coach saved me a boatload of money at the other end because the coach went, stop. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. So by the time I got to the editor and I got to the publisher and I got to everything else, it was clean and neat and well done. So it went through faster and easier, and it didn't have 16 million, revisions and everything else. So it was just the smartest thing ever. It was really smart. So, and I, unfortunately, I did not know Bethany at the time. So I used a different coach, but she was fabulous. And by the time it's a clean set of eyes where it was, this doesn't make sense, and I feel like you're holding back, and the readers are going to know that you're not giving it your all and things like that. Now, outside support, one of the best pieces of advice was given to me was, whatever you do, do not hand this to your sister, your best friend, your husband, and your neighbor to read this.
I love that.
Okay, and here's why. Listen up, people. If you want it to be your voice, then stick to your voice. Because people who know you are going to give you their two cents, and all of a sudden, they're going to influence you, and they're going to kill your voice. I will tell you, nobody read in my family, in my circle, except for my coach and my editors, until the first book came off the print. To the point where when I came home with the first book, that's when my husband read it, sitting on our couch. That's
wow. That just gives me chills. And it's such a good point. Such a good point. Go ahead.
That meant he had to get, when he said, I trust you, tell your story, I love you and I trust you, that was the greatest support he could have given me. That was the support. Mm-hmm. That was the best support because he really meant it when he said, I love you and I trust you. Tell your story. Do what you need to do. My parents said the same thing. I was more worried about my parents, to be honest with you. I was more worried about what my mom and dad were going to say than my husband. Because my husband was like, babe, just tell her. Well, I was like, oh, I don't know if mom and dad are going to like what I got to say about them. but it was okay. That was the best support. And it was so good because I was able to be really honest with myself and I was able to be really honest with my reader. And because of that, I've gotten emails and cards, and I've had people come up to me with tears in their eyes and say, oh, my gosh, that happened. I have had stage 4 cancer survivors come up and say, I relate to that, and I had that happen to me. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you have survived so much. It humbles me. It humbles me, like beyond belief. Beyond belief.
That's beautiful. So, well, listen, I want to ask one more question before we're wrapping up here. Because I have heard great things about this very successful book launch party that you had to launch your book, and I would just love to tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so this is another piece. Again, because I was using my book for a business purpose, in addition to the personal need therapeutically to tell my story, I was going all out. I did not have one. I did not have two. I had three book launch parties. In fact, we're coming up on a year. The first one was March 9th of last year, and I did them exactly 3 weeks apart. So they were like planning three mini weddings. It totaled 330 people collectively. The first two were business focus, and the last one was more family and friends. I did the business events, one in North County, one in Central County. Our county is very big here in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And they were designed as business mixers. So what I did was is I covered all of the business connections that I had within my database. And I had them come. I had a DJ. I had drink tickets. I had a program where I did, I had vendors that I connected with. I did not ask my vendors to do anything for free, but I asked them to work with me on price. And in exchange for that, I then provided them with social media exposure for weeks in advance. I had a program. I made sure that they got 2 minutes of time with me on stage where I did an interview style, which was very entertaining about what they did, their favorite this. They had promotions that they were able to share with the group. Then I did a reading from the book. I did acknowledgments and thank yous. Anyone who had a VIP button was either a sponsor or someone that was either in the acknowledgement section of the book or written about in the book, and they didn't know in advance. So when they stood in the audience, I got to say, as you walked around, you've seen people with VIP buttons, and they don't know why they're VIP. The reason that they're a VIP is because they've either been acknowledged or written about in the book, and they're very important people to me because they were there and they supported me during this crisis. I mean, it was very powerful. I also had a step and repeat, so people got to take pictures, and I had a banner with a hashtag that said the title of the book. Then we had a pit where they actually got to come in, and they sat in the pit with all the decorations, and they got to do group photos. And then afterwards, they got in line after. When they checked in, they said, thank you so much for coming, and how many books would you like to buy? So they were direct sales. They purchased the books, they held on to the books, and afterwards they got signatures, a personal signing with the author. It was very strategic. All the photos then were taken, and now I didn't post. People took photos. They posted their own photos. Now at the one-year anniversary this next month, all of the professional photos are going to be rotated throughout the month of March, celebrating the one-year anniversary.
Fabulous. I love that. And, you know, we're going to have to wrap this up. Mine, we could keep talking about this for several hours. Thank you so much,
Deanna,
for being our leading lady. I appreciate it so much, and I'm sure that all of the guests will want to rush out and buy her book. I highly recommend it.
Oh, I hope
And a special thanks to all our listeners. We will be back again next Monday for another Women Lead Radio Show. We're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. And next week, the leading lady will be Maggie Pound, business broker at First Choice Business Brokers. She is going to be talking about build your business, leave your legacy. So I'm Bethany Kelly, host of Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.